So this morning I want to talk to you on the Tomb Raider, and for those of you that have never heard of the Tomb Raider, I think the movie is about to come out. Is it out already? It's coming out. It's coming out. So I'm prophetic, all right? I'm prophetic. But we are talking about the Tomb Raider. And if you know anything about the Tomb Raider, there's a woman there by the name of Lara Croft. And she's like an adventurer, and she's like quite, she's not afraid of this and not afraid of that. But actually, in this movie, it's really all about, she's trying to figure out the mysterious disappearance, of her father. Actually, everything in the Tomb Raider is all about clues and secrets and mysteries. It's all about clues and secrets and mysteries. When you think about Tomb Raider, there's this magic thing, and there's this thing, and a hidden chamber, and so it's all, look at somebody and tell them, it's all about clues and secrets and mysteries. Look at somebody else and tell them, it's all about clues and secrets and mysteries. And I want to talk to you over these next 2 weeks, this morning, tonight, next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night, on the four M's, which are the four mysteries. I'm going to be talking to you about the four mysteries. Now, how many of you know that the Bible actually is a book of mystery? In fact, God himself is a God of mystery. This God who is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere, all at the same time, is shrouded in secrecy, and he is a God of mystery. Do you know that there are many things in the Bible that are described as mysteries? If you look at your Bible, Jesus speaks about the mystery of the kingdom. And then we know that Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel. We know that there is the mystery of doing God's will. This is what Paul speaks about. And then we know that there is also the mystery of the indwelling Christ, how it is that God can indwell you and I. We know that the Bible speaks of the mystery of the dispensation of grace. That's the dispensation that we're in. The Bible says that this grace dispensation is a mystery. It talks about how the rapture, when mortality puts on immortality, even that is a mystery. The Bible says that Paul speaks about the mystery of Christ. He talks about the mystery of the bride of Christ. He talks about how it's a mystery, how that believers can come into fellowship. He talks about the mystery of godliness, the mystery of Babylon. There are many mysteries in the Bible. I want you to understand that. The word mystery in the New Testament appears over 28 times. And in the Greek word is mysterion, which really describes an aspect of reality that human wisdom and empirical skills cannot discover. In other words, when we talk about something a mystery, something is mysterious, something in the Bible that is a mystery, in other words, what we're saying is that if we're going to understand it, it takes God to reveal the truth of that mystery. Does that mean then that Christianity is a mystery? Actually, to the outside world, yes. But to every believer, to everyone that is born again, you and I, a resounding no. Any truth that God has revealed is open to everybody to understand. Can you say amen? In other words, the Bible, the gospel, this God that we serve is for everybody. There is good news for everybody. There is salvation for everybody. There is forgiveness for everybody. There is healing for everybody. There is prosperity for everybody. There is blessing for everybody. Can I get an amen in this place? The cross, as I've said before, is all inclusive. It is not exclusive. And you and I have access to the Bible, which is God's word, and we can know and understand spiritual truth. Would you hold up your Bibles this morning and say, this is my Bible, and I can know and understand the spiritual truths of my Bible. Now, how many of you know that spiritual truths are spiritually discerned? Spiritually discerned. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, It says there, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we could sit and say amen to that. But the next verse clarifies. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So in other words, you need to say, my eye has seen, and my ear has heard, and it has entered into my heart the love and the things that God has for me, because we can know them by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can know the mysteries by the Spirit of God. Now look at Deuteronomy 29 and 29. Look at what it says there. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Oh, okay, then we don't know anything. But those things which are revealed belong to us. Hallelujah. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 4:11. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he said, now, for you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Can you say amen? Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning that even though the Bible and God may appear to be a mystery, I want you to know that there is a God who reveals the mysteries. He reveals clues and secrets and mysteries to you and I. Look at what Daniel said in Daniel 2 and 28. He said, I want you to know, King, there is a God in heaven who reveals the secrets. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is a God in heaven who reveals the secrets. Hallelujah. Even though the Bible and God may appear to be a mystery, our God, your God, is a revealer of mysteries. Look at Daniel 2:47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could not reveal the secret. Hallelujah. See, I'm here to tell you this morning, even though the Bible and God may appear to be a mystery, God reveals mysteries out of darkness. Hallelujah. Job 12:22 says, he uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. Can you say amen? So this morning, I want to begin by talking about the first mystery. I'm going to talk on the four mysteries. How many mysteries?
Four
mysteries. The first mystery is the mystery of the God-man. The second mystery is the mystery of the new man. The third mystery is the mystery of the one man. And the fourth and final mystery that I'm going to talk about is the mystery of the glorious man. It's all about men. I'm sorry, ladies, it's all about the men. But actually, in Christ Jesus, you are neither male nor female, so we regard everybody as a man today. Amen? So the first mystery is what? The mystery of the God-man. Lift your hands and say, today, I will know. See, great is the mystery of godliness. And then he goes on to expound. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. The New Living Translation says, without a question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the whole wide world and taken to heaven in glory. So what is this mystery of godliness? Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's actually talking about Jesus. He is saying that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. In other words, God came down in the flesh to walk among men. He was justified in the Spirit. In other words, the life that Jesus lived, his spiritual life, justified him as being God. He was seen by the angels. In other words, the angels attended to him, ministered to him while in this earth. He was preached among the Gentiles, not only to the Jews, but to every person all over the whole wide world. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. He was God come down to save them. He was believed on by the world. In other words, people of all classes, and then he was received into glory. If you want to look at what the early church believed in, you will find it right here. This is what they believed about Christ. They believed that he was God manifest in the flesh. That God came down among men in order that we might know God as we could never know him in any other way. And we see here two revelations out of this mystery. The first one is the revelation of his word, hallelujah, which gives you and I the thoughts of God, gives us his mind, gives us his plans, gives us his purposes for you and for me, for the whole of mankind. And the second revelation is of Jesus coming personally in the flesh, in a physical body in Christ. Now the Bible says this is a mystery. And not just a mystery, it is a great mystery. It is the secret of godliness. I'll be honest with you, I do not understand the mystery of the God-man, the mystery of the incarnation. I don't believe it's physically possible, humanly possible to understand, to come to terms with all of our education, all of our IQ, all that we know, all of our mental essence. It is impossible to come to understand the mystery of this God-man, the incarnation. A human being can never understand how Jesus Christ can be altogether God and at the very same time total man and perfect man at that. And yet he was. The Bible says he was the sinless perfect lamb that was led to the slaughter and that he was made to die a gruesome death for you and I. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus didn't know any sin. So he was perfect sin, and the Bible, perfectly sinless. He who knew no sin was made to know your and my sin. And so we see here, perfect man and perfect God united together in Jesus Christ, walking around in the flesh down here on the earth. Do you know that this is something that the religious leaders of Jesus' day couldn't understand? How is it possible that this Jesus could be both the Son of Man and the Son of God? How is it that he could originate out of the lineage of David, who was the greatest king of Israel, and be the son of David, and yet at the same time be the God of David? They had seen the scriptures of how David had said in Psalm 110 verse 1, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And even one day Jesus speaks to them. And he says in Mark 12 verse 35, Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord." And he just requotes Psalm 110. But I want you to know this morning that God came down to reveal himself through the Lord Jesus in a physical body. When the angel of the Lord appeared before Joseph in a dream, this is what he said to Joseph, Matthew 1 and verse 20. And it says there, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. And then in verse 23, "Behold," he says, "the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Hallelujah. God with us, Emmanuel, the God-man, perfect God and perfect man, God dwelling amongst mankind. Do you know that Jesus was the visible manifestation of an invisible God? Look at somebody and tell them, Jesus was the visible manifestation of an invisible God. He was the visible manifestation of an invisible God. John 1:1. Look at what John the Apostle says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, he says, and the Word became what? Became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. John says the Word was made flesh. The spoken Word was made flesh and then dwelt amongst the people, and the people saw the glory. They saw the glory that was in Jesus. And guess what happened? They saw the glory and their lives were transformed. They saw in Jesus the mystery of the God-man. And they had never seen anybody like that. And it drew their hearts so that they were never the same. Hallelujah. There was glory on their faces because they saw God come down to redeem them and to save them and to walk with them. And God came down to redeem you and I, to save us and to walk with us. And the Bible says, great is the mystery of the God-man, the incarnation. You know that there are a lot of people today, even believers, who do not believe in this mystery. So-called Christians who do not believe in this mystery. I'm here to tell you that no man or woman can believe that God came down in the person of Jesus and know Jesus and walk with Jesus without the Holy Spirit making that a reality to you. And then when the Holy Spirit makes that known to you, you behold the glory, and the glory floods your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to reveal this mystery to you today, that He is the God-man. He is God come down in the flesh. He was all God and all man, perfect God and perfect man. And the Bible says that we behold His glory. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it takes an encounter with the God-man for you and I to have a changed, transformed life. Can I get an amen? Amen? Hallelujah. This is what our Sunday services are all about. It's all about that encounter. We talk about an epic Sunday service. We want to go all out to move every obstacle out of the way, to do whatever we got to do so that people can encounter, so that the Holy Spirit can reveal the mystery of the God-man to every person. Because then when He is made in the flesh and He comes in the form of flesh to you, we behold His glory, and it's the glory that changes you. I want you to look at somebody this morning and tell them, it's the glory that changes you. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, it's the glory that changes you. Listen, if you don't have a revelation that He is the God-man, perfect God, perfect man, there's something missing in your life. He was altogether God, altogether man. He was perfect God, perfect man. He came down, and the Bible says when He dwelt among us, this Emmanuel who came to dwell amongst humanity. I don't know about you, but that kind of boggles me somewhat. Now I would think, God, why would you want to waste your time coming to dwell amongst somebody, a group of people, multitudes of people that are just simply grains of sand? That's all we are. We're just a speck of sand in the eyes of God. I mean, you think about this phenomenal God who holds the whole waters of the earth in the one palm of His hand, who spans the heavens with thumb and pinky. One span, that's what He does. God stands and spans the heavens with His hand. And this phenomenal God took it upon Himself to come and dwell with mankind. He didn't come in the form of an angel. He didn't come in the form of some heavenly animal or some beast or whatever it is. He came in the form of man, God, the God-man. Totally God, totally man. It kind of freaked the religious people out. I think today it still kind of freaks the religious people out. But you see, the Bible says, great is this mystery. It's a phenomenal truth if you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life into that theme, into that thought, because He is the God-man. Hallelujah. And He comes to dwell. He wants to dwell amongst you. He wants to dwell in your home. He wants to dwell in your family. He wants to dwell in that. God is the Emmanuel come to dwell amongst us. I think that's a phenomenal thought of God wanting to just put up with us, put up with our weakness, put up with our inconsistencies, put up with our whatever, and He chooses to come. He could be in a far greater place. I think He could be in a far greater place, but He chooses to be the God-man. Hallelujah. He chooses to want to dwell with you today. You say, Pastor, but you don't know what it is. But God is the God-man. This is a mystery. I don't know why He would want to be like that with humanity. We're just a speck in the eyes of God. We're just, you know, the Bible says we're made from dust and to dust we'll go. But that's the God that we serve this morning. He is the God-man. Altogether God, altogether man. And as the Emmanuel, He says, as God, I'm coming to dwell amongst mankind. I'm coming to find my place amongst mankind. I think that's phenomenal. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I don't know where you're at. And I know that when we do things that are not right, and we know what is right and what is wrong. And let me say, when we do things that are not wrong, there is the guilt, there is the condemnation. That is the consequence of sin. That's the sting of sin, actually. The sting of sin is not only just a death, a separation that comes from God, but the sting of sin is also the guilt. It's like when you take something that's bitter, you put it in your mouth, it doesn't taste too bad, then when you swallow it, after you taste the bitter effects. And that's what sin is. It does have the bitter aftertaste. And maybe you're here today and there's guilt and condemnation because, you know what, Pastor John, I did X, Y, Z. And today, we're not into finding out what the X, Y, Z is that you did. All I'm here to tell you is that this is the mystery of the God-man. He is altogether God, altogether man, and He comes to dwell amongst you. He wants to be with you. He wants you. He loves you. God is in no wise pushing you away. He wants you. His arms are open wide, ready to receive you in Phoenix as well. Get ready. In Hillcrest, in the overflow area, up in the balcony. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He's the God-man. Altogether God, who chose the abode of a human being, the form of a human being, so that He could come and dwell amongst you and me. I find that so refreshing. I find that so encouraging today, because it says to me that God relates to where I'm at. He relates to my weakness. He relates to my failures. He relates to that habitual sin. He relates to where I threw my toys out of the cart. He relates to where I missed the mark completely. And maybe that was your week today. Maybe that was your week. But you're here in the house of God. And I'm telling you that this mystery ought not to be a mystery any longer, because the God-man is here for you. He is the Emmanuel, the God who dwells amongst you. You say, well, Pastor John, what do I need to do? Just simply from where you're at, from the place where you're at, in your heart of hearts, if you can find it in your hearts to respond to God's amazing love. Because that's what it is. It's not about doing something to earn something. The price has been paid. This is just something that you receive by faith. It's the gift of God's love. It's the gift of forgiveness. And it comes with you and I understanding that we've sinned and that we are now repenting of our sins. That's all it takes. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, in Phoenix, in Hillcrest, in the overflow in the hall, up in the balcony, maybe you're watching by way of live stream. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to you today about the God-man. Altogether God, altogether man. God had to become a man to relate to our weaknesses. So he totally understands. And the Bible actually says in Hebrews that he sympathizes with you and I. God's not against you, sir. God's not ready to chop your head off, you know, get out a whip and whip you. The Bible says he is your high priest that sympathizes with our weaknesses. He understands because as God, he was totally man, vulnerable, susceptible, yet the Bible says not once did he sin. So this morning, I'd like to pray for you, wherever you are. I want everybody praying right now. Nobody, just every eye closed. This is so important. I don't want anybody to go without having put right with God. We're early as it comes to time. And so I want to give you as much time today just to prepare your heart. I want to give you as much time today to prepare for you to receive the God-man, altogether God, altogether man, this wonderful Jesus. I want to give you time to prepare your heart to behold the glory, to behold everything that God has for you as the God-man. He has so much for you as the God-man. I'm going to count to three. In Phoenix, get ready. In Hillcrest, get ready. In the overflow, get ready. Up on the balcony, get ready. Every believer praying. We're trusting right now, believing right now, that there's going to be responses coming from people. I sense it. You ready? Here we go. One. Get ready. Two. Here we go. Three. Lift your hand up high. God bless you. 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 In the back. Around the back. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. I see many hands. Up in Phoenix. Up in Hillcrest as well. That's right. Those of you that have your hands lifted, up in the balcony, anybody, in the overflow, I'm going to ask you to stand up to your feet. In Hillcrest, in Phoenix, go ahead, stand up to your feet. Can we give them all a big round of applause? Just stay there. Don't come just yet. Just stay there. Come on, let's clap for them. Let's rejoice. Now, here's what I want to do. Phoenix, we're going to hand over back to you, Pastor Mervin. Don't forget, tonight we're going to record the album video, so we want you to come and be a part of it. Hillcrest, I'm going to hand back over to Pastor Wayne. And don't forget, Hillcrest, tonight we're going to do the video recording. Let's give all of the campuses a big God bless you. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Now, those of you that are standing, I believe there's more of you that need to stand up. Would you come, get up out of your seats and come down to the front. Now I want everybody to shout and celebrate and let's make some noise in this place. Come on, come on, come on, come on. That's right, keep coming, keep coming. That's right, keep coming. God bless you, keep clapping. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Wonderful. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those of you in the front, we're going to lead you in a simple prayer. Down in the overflow as well, if you're standing up, would you just join in and say these words after me? Wonderful. All right, everybody, let's say this. Heavenly Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Just as I am, with all of my faults, all of my failures, and all of my sin, and I ask you for forgiveness. I repent today, Lord. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me and washes me. I receive eternal life. and the forgiveness of my sins. And I'll never be the same. From this day onwards, I am your child. I belong to you. You are the God-man. And I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up. All right, let's all stand up. Praise God. Now tonight, don't forget, we're going to do the video recording. So come dressed really looking good. All right, as you are today, you're looking good today. And this video is going to go all over the world. So please come. And then I'm going to carry on with the four M's. And we're going to look at the mystery of the new man. All right. And so let's stretch our hands out towards these folk right now. Father, I bring these wonderful people to you today. I thank you for this miracle of the new birth, that you would change them, that you would work, Lord, in their lives, and that they would never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Stretch your hands towards the Lord. Up to heaven this morning. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you as we go our various ways today. Thank you for the revelation of the God-man, understanding how that Jesus was all God and all man, and he came to dwell amongst us. And the Bible says, Lord, they beheld his glory. I thank you that we, Lord, I know there's lots of things happening in the world, and we can be easily distracted, and we can be caught up with this and with that. But I pray that every one of us would see the glory, that we would see the kingdom, we would see the angels, we would see the things of God, we would see the glory. And as we see the glory, I thank you for change. I thank you for transformation. I thank you that that would become life to every one of us. We go blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
All right. For more information about DCC and all our events, please follow us on all our social media platforms.